ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Just use the angle of your car is going to make me cry. Look, I had an incredible career and ridden 17 Group 1s now, but that major has obviously eluded me and I just wanted to get one, but now I want maybe three more, maybe a Melbourne Cup, and this horse is going to run the trip out.
That is jockey Jamie Mellum after she rode half yours to the Caulfield Cup on Tuesday. The pair are trying to do exactly what she said just there, win the Melbourne Cup. 10 years on from Michelle Payne becoming the first and only woman to win the race on a 100-to-1 shot, Mellum is riding the favourite. And that kind of speaks to the journey the industry's on. But Mellum's journey, that is something else. The daughter of Winter Olympians, left school at 15 to chase the dream, found controversy along the way, now on the edge of the biggest possible victory. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Miles covers horse racing and other things for the ABC. He knows this industry oh so well. Dan, we're talking about Jamie Mellum, who will ride the favourite, half yours, at the Melbourne Cup. Can you maybe start by just giving us the sort of Wikipedia origin story of the 29-year-old, Cliff Notes sort of stuff?
Yeah, Pat, the Jamie Mellum story is nowhere near over, but it's already had more twists and turns than a Dan Brown novel. So she was born Jamie Carr, 1995 December, but to use racing parlance, she's got a blue blood pedigree, but maybe not in the way that most people would expect of a jockey. So her parents, John and Karen, were actually Olympic level speed skaters. So there's definitely pace in the DNA, but Jamie ended up finding her place in stirrups rather than skates. That said, she ended up taking the really kind of traditional way from the saddle to racing. She went through pony clubs, then worked on the ground at some local stables in South Australia. But here's the thing. If she was a little bit more obedient to her parents, she may never have actually become a jockey in the first place. Her mum actually banned her from riding track work when she was about 14 or 15. But that ban lasted all of maybe a few months before Jamie defied her parents' wishes, like a lot of teens do at some point, let's be honest. And she started taking riding seriously because she was seriously good at it. She started dominating the ranks in South Australia almost as soon as she kicked off her career in Streaky Bay, which, fun fact, is actually the birthplace of Melbourne Cup winning jockey Karen McAvoy. Anyway, she took out the South Australian Jockeys Premiership pretty much straight away as soon as she started riding. And from there, the phone started ringing hot about this gun apprentice. And very soon, the world became her oyster.
From that early success all the way through to riding the favourite at a Melbourne Cup, I think it would be easier to go, okay, that's just clear linear success, point A to point B. But the reality's been pretty different, hasn't it? On and off track, Dan.
Yeah, the Dan Brown novel continues. This has been nothing but twists and turns. The ups are super clear. So she ended up moving to Melbourne in around January 2019 and then rode her first Group 1 race, the Australian Cup at Flemington, no less, a few months later. So that win, tick off the board. By October that year, she was rated the best female jockey in the world and the only female rider in the top 100 globally. So she just started to steamroll through these winners. A year later, she had 1,000 winners to her name, which is something that only Claire Lindop and Linda Meach have done in Australia before her. And then by July the following year, she had another record. This time she became the first female jockey to pilot 100 Metropolitan winners in a season.
Is it going to hold on? It will! A century of winners from the car of the year.
So everything is going Milhouse for Mellum at this point. But as often does in these stories, things took a turn. 2 months after that, she ended up in hot water. She was suspended by the Victorian Racing Tribunal for breaching COVID-19 restrictions. She was one of five jockeys that found themselves in hot water after they breached the Greater Melbourne curfew during the dark pandemic times that we don't talk about. She found herself actually in the middle of a raucous house party that police were called to. And from that, her name was splashed right across the tabloids here in Melbourne and for the reasons that she didn't want. She copped a 3-month ban for that and was actually given an additional 2-month ban for allegedly lying to racing authorities. But that part of her penalty was later overturned by the Supreme Court. She was able to return to race riding later that year and head down, bum up, she was notching winners and Group 1 winners at that. But it hasn't all been beer and Skittles since. And to be fair, nor would you expect it to be when you're doing one of the world's most dangerous jobs. So in March 2023, we continue along our Crib Notes timeline, Jamie had a really serious fall at Flemington and she spent a number of days in a coma, actually. She had a catalogue of injuries, she had broken bones and everything up to and including brain injuries. But she attacked her rehab with a tenacity that was at a new level. So by August that very same year, she was back professional race riding and riding winners. And that's pretty much what she's been doing ever since. And now she's rightly considered one of Victorian racing's top hoops.
Most recently, I guess the success has been the Caulfield Cup. And now she's favourite for the Melbourne Cup, obviously, on the ride, half yours. What can you tell us about the horse itself?
This horse has had a remarkable transformation. If you wind back the clock to April, Half Yours was actually running in what's called benchmark 64 grade, which is one of the lowest grade races that you can actually have here in Australia. And from April to November, the horse has blossomed and is now a Caulfield Cup winner, which is one of the three major races down here in the Spring Carnival, and is favourite for the Melbourne Cup. So it's really a testament to the co-trainers, Tony and Calvin McAvoy.
Half Yours is drawing away. Half Yours, a famous win for Jamie Mellum and Team Mac.
And a really nice harkback as well. They're based out of South Australia and one of the first trainers to actually start putting Jamie on a horse back when she was 16, 17, coming through the ranks and a young apprentice. So as far as the story coming full circle, there's a little bit of magic heading into Tuesday's race, not only with that connection, but also winding the clock back 10 years ago. That was when Michelle Payne famously won her Melbourne Cup at 100-1 and told everyone to get stuffed because that was exactly what women could do.
Just want to say to everyone else can get stuffed because they think women aren't strong enough, but we just beat the world.
And now Payne, who's a great mate of Jamie's, will be watching on and really cheering on, you know, one of her compatriots in the saddle to repeat the dose just 10 years later. But from a 100-1 winner to a hot favourite, that just shows exactly where racing's at today, perhaps.
I'm glad we got the job done with the Caulfield Cup because I was very nervous. I'm not one that normally lets it get to me and I was cooked. So I'm glad that was over and done with and it's given me a bit of confidence. And look, I'm still feeling a bit sick about the Melbourne Cup, but it's sort of like, you know, we got the major out of the way. I want to get another one, but at least that one's over and done with.
Incredible to think that it's been a decade since Michelle Payne scored that incredible victory. Jamie obviously riding the favourite now 10 years on. What does it say about women in horse racing that we've seen that transition? A lot or a little or somewhere in the middle?
Horse racing's a really curious one because, for one, it's one of the few sports where men and women compete on an equal playing field. She gets no leniency for her gender nor any advantage, as you see in other sports. And riding, on the other hand, and particularly things like pony club and equestrian, are predominantly female endeavours. But the push through from that level to race riding has been a little bit more of a trickle than a rush. It's still a sport that's dominated by men. But I think it's fair to say that we're seeing a changing of the guard, and particularly a change in attitude to the way people look at female riders and female athletes in racing. And as much as that is to Jamie's benefit, it's no small part due to the success of the people that came before her. All of the Michelle girls that rode, Linda Meach, Caitlin Mallion, Cathy O'Hara, they're the riders that sort of set the path for someone like Jamie Mellum. And this year, we've got three female riders in the Cup. Jamie Mellum, Celine Gaudrey and Rachel King. They're all going to have a ride. So it's a real changing of the guard moment, I think.
It makes me very confident and more enthusiastic when I've got all these younger people around me saying, I want to be just like you one day. When I grow up, I want to be like you. And that's the biggest compliment I think anyone can give you.
The favourite, Half Yours, is an Australian galloper, but that really flies in the face of the international trend overall. Who are some of the stories we should be taking note of outside of the one that we've highlighted today?
It's a real open and international field this year. So to run you through it really kind of briefly, we've got Irish trainer Joseph O'Brien. He's won the race twice. He's back and he's probably bought the best horse over that he's ever had, to be fair. That's the top weight in Al Riffa. It's won an Irish St. Ledger and a Curragh Cup, and that's a real hark back to the form lines that Dermot Weld used to bring across. He was the trainer of Vintage Crop, the first international to win the Cup. So it's a little bit of nostalgia there, but it's got the top weight and no horse has carried that same weight. since Rain Lover in 1969. So there's a little bit against it there. Japan's back this year. We've got Chevalier Rose, the French-based Presage Nocturne with Alessandro Botti. They're also back, but Ireland's also there with Willie Mullins. I think he's just got a standing reservation in a hotel near Flemington because he's brought Absurd back for a third year in a row. But of all the internationals, there are two stories that I love the most. First up, you've got a horse called Flatten the Curve. He's trained by Henk Gru in Germany and ridden by the jockey with the best name in world racing, Thor Hammer Hansen. So he's won six of his last eight races, including the Bowling Green Gold Cup at Kentucky Downs.
Flatten the Curve is clear with Thor Hammer Hansen producing the Persuader, and it's Flatten the Curve racing away by a half dozen lengths.
And it was while he was in the States there that he lost to the first US-trained and ridden horse to compete in the Cup. So that's Parchment Party. He's prepared by Hall of Fame horseman William Mott and is set to be ridden by John Velazquez. He won a gold ticket into the Cup by winning the Belmont Cup at Saratoga, but he may not have been here but for the racing gods smiling on him. So that was a race that was supposed to be run on turf, but the heavens absolutely opened up in the hours preceding. It was a whitewash of rain, and they forced the race to be run on the dirt track, which Parchment Party is a specialist at. Turf, that's a different thing altogether. But the chance to fly a horse all the way around the world was just too enticing for his owners. And I reckon it's just a brilliant story.
There's no shortage of them this year. I mean, ultimately, we're looking for a winner. Dan, who are you tipping?
I think the best thing to do is just chuck all the names in a hat, shuffle them around and pick one out. It's that open a race that you could have anything. To throw a couple of names at you, Valiant King, number 24. Normally you're kicking yourself if you pull 24 of 24 out. But this is a lightly weighted horse that stays and only has 51 kilos on its back, with Jai McNeil riding, who's won the race before, and Chris Wallace, the trainer of Winx fame. A roughie, if that's the way you're inclined, there's a horse called River of Stars, another Chris Waller horse with Bo Mertens in the saddle. He had a huge run in the Caulfield Cup, which is a mare, so they don't win often. But this could be the year for River of Stars if you're looking for an outsider.
Live coverage is on the ABC Listen app. Dan Miles, thanks for your time.
Love chatting, Pat. Thanks, man.
Headlines. Did you catch the World Series? Absolutely bonkers. The Los Angeles Dodgers claimed back-to-back titles after scraping past the Blue Jays in Toronto in extra innings of a deciding Game 7. They trailed 3-0 and 4-2, and they had a bases-loaded disaster scenario in the final ninth inning of regulation before getting it done in the 11th inning as Will Smith, no, not that Will Smith, hit a home run.
Smith, it's a high fly ball to deep left field. It's got a chance. It is gone. It's Will Smith.
Now, we shouldn't necessarily frame this as a complete Cinderella story. After all, this team has a US $350 million payroll, and the Blue Jays, well, they spent $255 million US. So overall, you think money might not buy you love, but it probably will purchase you a championship. We throw around the term watershed moment in sport a little too loosely at times, but it does feel appropriate at the Women's ODI World Cup, where India claimed its first crown by defeating South Africa in the final at home. The hosts posted 7 for 298, and while South African captain Laura Woolvat scored 100, it was not enough as the Proteas fell 52 runs short.
A victory that will ignite a nation. It will create a legacy for generations of young women to follow.
Rugby league, and New Zealand's heading to the final of the PAC Champs after they took care of Tonga. But anyone who is a rugby league fan is talking about the grim scenes for Eli Katoa. The Storm star received a nasty head knock in the warm-ups for Tonga, played anyway, wore another high shot in the first half, but passed the concussion test, so continued on. In the second half, he wore a third shot and had to have oxygen administered from the medical staff in what was described as a seizure activity. The officials confirmed he has suffered a brain bleed. He's undergone surgery. He remains in a stable condition. His coach, Christian Wolf.
Now, my job's not to question doctors. They're both comfortable with that and comfortable with him coming back onto the field. Unfortunately, I think he's copped a second hit that's quite heavy and has been a bit of a poor result on the back of that.
Finally, rugby. The Wallabies were comprehensively beaten 25-7 by England at Twickenham. They now head to Italy to take on the Azzurri. The last time these two teams met, a one-point defeat for Australia ultimately cost Dave Rennie his job as coach of the team. I don't think anyone's suggesting Joe Schmidt's in that zone, but it does illustrate that losing to a team like Italy can make the base angry. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to Channel 7, Kentucky Downs Racing, Prime and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.